The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
This morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, the station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Tuesday, the 11th of November, 2025, and you are on the clock with... I was going to be Surfer Green this morning, you know. Let me tell you all something. I have Organization for Responsible Government in studio this morning. We're talking about a number of things in the lead up to the 2020 NAP election. Organization for Responsible Governance released a document, Bahamas Pre-Election Handbook 2021 SNAP Election Edition. Well, elections are rolling around again, and we have a by-election looming, so I've asked Org to come in today to talk about the pre-election handbook, preparing to enter the voters' booth, and another story in the media. In fact, this story was in yesterday's Nassau Guardian. Org welcomes new data protection bill, but warns it may be open to abuse, right? So we're going to spend some time sort of preparing for the by-election and the election. The advance poll, the by-election and the election, and then maybe we're going to talk a bit about data protection. So I was thrifting. What people who know they poor do, people who don't know they poor, but are poor don't tend to do it, right? Anyway, I was thrifting, and I thought, I'm preparing for the election, and right in front of my eyes, I saw a Ride the Wave with Brave t-shirt, a shirt. They don't make t-shirts no more. They do fancy shirts, the PLP. So I grabbed one, right? At first, I grabbed it for my good aunt, Ona Bailey, because she's a diehard member of the PLP, so I said, I'm going to grab the shirt for her. But I thought, you know what? If you're preparing for an election, you need election paraphernalia. I almost brought that shirt to work with me today, but then I remember they have cameras in the radio station, so I did not put it on. But y'all remember, we got some thrift stores around here that could help you supplement your budget when with the extraneous things happen, put stress on your wallet. Anyway, I did not wear Ona Bailey Ride the Wave with Brave shirt today. So I cannot call myself Surfer Green. So today you on the clock with Aaron Green. Tomorrow maybe I'll be riding the wave. However, my producer already showed me you late, Green. You late. You can't come with the old paraphernalias because they'll know it's a swing. So hopefully Org will show me how to prepare properly for an election. Just as we get going, remember the Loyalist Charles Farquharson Will Competition. We also are running a t-shirt and magazine recycling drive. You can message me on Facebook for details. We can organize delivery or pickup. A quick note, I still can't copy and paste anything from the government website. Y'all just created a brand new government website. And nobody could copy and paste anything from it. And I don't think you all understand how detrimental that is. Oh, no, let me use another big word. Antithetical. That's what it is. It's antithetical. Like, you put the information there to share it, but then you can't actually share it to other devices. This is not what governance with accountability, honesty, and transparency, that's not what it looks like. That's not what it is. For the love of God, it's 2025. Will somebody fix the website also? When you get that person to fix the government website, the gov.bs, send them so they could fix the Royal Bahamas Police Force website as well. In fact, send the people from the Bahamas Securities Commission, whoever manages their website, send them to the Royal Bahamas Police Force and to the cabinet office or whoever is responsible for the government website. This is embarrassing. I hear people say, Aaron, you just like to make noise. No, I don't think you all understand what's happening here. So you have students across the archipelago who have to do projects, who have to extract information, right? And some of them can't get to an office where they could get a hard copy of the information. And so now a student who's trying to extract information from the government website has to spend their time transcribing, typing up a document. It's 2025, man. And guess what? This is not the most embarrassing thing. This is not the most embarrassing thing arising from this administration and this government. Today's show is supposed to be brought to you by the red light on East Street at the Bay Street intersection that apparently was red all day yesterday. Now, here's what the jokey part is. The jokey part is for the 2 weeks prior to yesterday, there was groups of police officers conducting road traffic department tax collection exercises immediately east of East Street on Bay Street. How do I know that they were road traffic department tax collection exercises? Because I observed over the last 2 to 3 weeks a number of drivers ignoring the roadblock, driving through the police, one guzzling down a beer, one with their cell phone in their hand, both with no. And there is no protocol to intercept drivers that attempt to avoid or ignore the roadblock. You know why? Because it ain't that serious. Because it's just a road traffic department tax collection exercise. It is not about the enforcement of traffic controls. So I had a whole show lined up today, but preparing for this election is going to take the priority. But mind you, I haven't forgotten the delivery trucks that just run red lights, as if the name of your company is not emblazoned on the vehicle you're using. You're tarnishing their name. Is it that you have a culture in your workplace where you know ain't nothing can come of it? Is that what it is? The two vehicles that sped their way out of one, Okra Hill, onto Shirley Street. See, when I say Okra Hill onto Shirley Street, people are supposed to throw things in the air because Okra Hill is a one-way street heading. Not south to Shirley Street. That young man in that rental plate was on his phone, no seatbelt on, I bet you, no license, no insurance, just mashing up that rental. I ain't gonna call the name, but if you have a rental car, Aqua Brown, and the first two digits of your license plate is SN79, you'll go check that out. Go recall that car, please. And then to the next driver that just sped out of York and Maud Street onto Shirley Street. Both of those roads are one way. Wait, no, I lie. One of them, he's come out. One of them, the person just turned up. The next one just sped out without stopping. Right? And then there are the utilities workers who are constantly obstructing traffic in the road without providing the proper signage and cones and the traffic management team. All of these things are documented. And one day this week, the Highway Code, we're going to go through the relevant traffic acts and we're going to identify some of these offenses that y'all don't realize are offenses. But let me tell you something. If somebody calls your office to report that you were doing foolishness in a vehicle that says, call this number if you see this vehicle doing foolishness, y'all stop fighting and rowing and cussing and threatening people. You made a clear and cogent decision to cut a movie, and now people want to herald your performance. That's it. You can't have it both ways. You can't be a bully on the road and then cry that people victimizing you. To the mom, to the Caucasian mom, the woman of European descent, the white woman this morning in her car, whose face was so deeply buried in her phone that she didn't realize that her car was barely moving. Y'all stop it. You in your 60s, ma'am. You too old to be doing foolishness. Anyway, We're going to transition from this part because we have people in studio that can help us organize our thoughts, identify our concerns, right? Think through strategies to resolve, solve, or fix what issues are plaguing us. Carlos, I saw you. We can have some time for some calls. Joining me in studio today from Organization for Responsible Governance, I have Matt Aubrey and Ari Wells. Good morning.
Good morning, Aaron. Thank you so much for having us. So sorry to throw a wrench in your traffic edition of this show, but we'll definitely have to tune in tomorrow.
Better you throw a wrench into the traffic edition of the show than throwing a wrench into traffic on roads.
But it sounds like that's happening.
But I would make a link that I think what you're talking about and what we're talking about are very cool. You've been an incredible advocate for these issues, you know, 5 days a week for a whole year. So more than 300 times people are listening 10 mm-hmm. o'clock to hear that these things on the roads are not being followed and that dangers exist and all of those things. And you have a pretty loyal following. So people are aware of these issues. And you've told them, hey, call the business, call your MP, let people know, road traffic, all those things are out there. But then what is the preventative, why don't we do something? Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of what org works on right now is and I don't even think it's what prevents folks, but what doesn't give you the hope that if I do something, something will change. Mm-hmm. I've always admired that about you is you have a spirit of if I see something, I'm going to say something, but that unfortunately becomes a rarity. Mm-hmm. And we got to get into why that is.
Because we've rewritten the narrative, right? Mm-hmm. We've said that people are not doing anything because either they don't care or they don't see a problem. And that's not the case. The human spirit intrinsically will continue to try and solve problems. Mm-hmm. That's hundreds of years of human existence.
Right.
That must mean that people have made rational decisions to pull back their energy from certain spaces.
I might actually say, I don't know that it's rational. I think it's more what we call effective, AF effective.
Okay.
Because the logic computes. If I do this, I'm going to be safer. There's going to be less risk. Things will happen. But if your belief system is that I don't know that things would change if I actually did something, isn't as logical as much as it's maybe emotional or what we talk about in the concept of trust. Mm-hmm. How, do you trust that the system will look out or respond to your particular needs or interests? Then we can all talk about it, or we can put that energy in places, or we can call into radio shows and we can do that. But is that actually a mechanism that can make a difference?
It can drive.
And so that's a lot of what org talks about is how do we mobilize that into a space where those resources and that energy and that knowledge that this may not be the best way or there is a better way can be moved.
Mm-hmm. I'd also like to add to that, that at org we say get informed and get involved. So we're saying it's not necessarily that people don't care, but until you're able to understand, if you don't know, how can you care? Mm-hmm. Which is why you need to sit down and actually ask yourself, what information do I need in order to make an informed decision?
Right. The word that I was thinking of, Matt, when you were talking, right, like there's an intersection of these things, the logic, the emotion, the psychology, the belief system, and that sometimes the response is instinctual, right? It's below kind of the logic level.
Right.
There's a natural sort of gut logic.
And it is, you're right. It's that head, heart, gut connection that needs to happen in order for you to believe that something can happen.
And to what you said, Ari, and to what you said, Matt, a lot of people say you're just complaining. And I say, no, I'm not just complaining. I am ensuring that people know, right? And it's, you say, well, no, the people know. I say, yeah, but people don't necessarily know the language that they need to articulate what it is that they're experiencing, right? And so we have these conversations because people use different types of language, people connect in different types of ways, but there's a continual remembrance, right? Mm-hmm. Like Sunday was Remembrance Day, and every day henceforth, I shall remind people that memory is a weapon, right? And you must protect yourself from it and from yourself. Mm-hmm. And so filling the space, inundating the space with these issues is not just complaining, it's about creating a space in which people can then mobilize themselves.
And ORG, as a not-for-profit, as a nonpartisan not-for-profit here in the Bahamas, has always believed in that. Is believed that it's about a systemic change. We can't think that just government, any government of any administration, is going to solve these issues by themselves. It requires the participation of citizens. It requires the participation of students, of businesses. It requires the participation of folks in academia. It requires civil society organizations, not-for-profit organizations like ours. And that whole of society approach is what's required to address these issues, because these issues aren't simple. Running a red light is a simple act, but a lot of things led up to that. We were just having that conversation before. So where we put a lot of energy is into how we navigate and understand the systems of governance, the requirements and the values of things like transparency and accountability, and building up your own voice, or what we like to call agency, to make a difference in an environment that you can make sure the interests you have, your families, your communities, are better represented. One of the critical spaces, which you just led us into, that is going to be an opportunity for that level of participation, is the upcoming elections. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to actually turn it to Ari to talk a little bit about what we're doing in that space right now and what we've done, and some resources that folks can take advantage of for free to equip themselves to become informed and get involved.
Absolutely. Good morning, Ari Wells. So what is ORG doing right now? And then we take a look into the handbook, the 2021 handbook.
No problem. So we have created a voter.com/vote, and you can go there to find a handbook. You can find additional resources in the form of graphics. You can also find a 6-minute, very short crash course video that explains what do you need to know to get informed and get involved in the election process. And the reason that we are delivering this information in so many different ways is because we want to make sure that this information is accessible and it's not something that's complex or long or drawn out. And so we have all of this information available now on our resource hub. But what we've been doing recently is kind of revamping this program and making sure that it's also going to be relevant in the upcoming general election. So you can go there now to learn about what you need to know for the by-election, but for the upcoming general election, we're going to have a new handbook, and we're also going to have a brochure. So we're hoping that brochure, which is a lot shorter than the handbook, would lead people to the handbook. But we want to make sure that we don't lose people in the process. If you go and you present someone with a 20 or 30 page handbook, you might not get them to the entire thing. But if we present it in a way and catch their interest and they read the brochure, which is just 2-3 pages, then we're hoping that they'll go and read the handbook as well. What we also did was
let me just say this. The handbook is like 6 to 8 pages. The handbook isn't much more than that.
Yeah, this one, the one that we have in its current iteration is pretty short.
Yeah.
So that's why in our new revamped voter education program, we're creating the brochure and then a longer handbook that goes more in depth with some of these topics.
Okay. So some of the topics featured in the 2021 handbook, I have the table of contents here. The first sort of chapter is Bahamas, Your Vote Matters. What is democracy? What are elections? What is voting? Why you're voting 101? Who's eligible to vote in the election? What's the permanent voter registry, which is a relatively new concept that we haven't talked about sufficiently? What do you do if you lost your voter's card? What if you changed residence? What if you moved, whether willingly or unwillingly, right? What to expect on election day and the advanced poll.
And that's so crucial to understand not only how the process works, but what you can do within that process.
Mm-hmm.
One of the reasons we're really focusing on this, or we focused it on the last number of elections, is because coming out of the last election, we had this perfect storm of bad conditions. It was post-COVID. We had a snap election, which people weren't familiar with. There was the permanent registry, which was a new system that was put in place. And it's a modern system, one that ultimately I think will benefit us, but it had all happened so quickly in the instance.
Mm-hmm.
And what we saw is those historic numbers that folks across the world talk about, with Bahamians coming out at low 90% or upper 80% of the electorate participating in the election, dropped down to the mid-60s. And that may have just been an outlier. But what happens is research tells you when you don't vote in one election, you're much less likely to vote in the next. And if you don't vote in the next one, you're even much less likely to vote in the others. So we heard particularly youth voters talking a lot about feeling disenfranchised, that they were left behind. Adaptations weren't there. People will say, hey, well, there's lots of information beforehand. But we know people, when you're not familiar with the system, you need help all the way up into that process. So we want to make sure that folks don't see this as, well, I don't see anything in this election for me, but that they fully understand that your role in participation ensures that the voices that are going to be out there are reflective of a wider stretch, not just the bases of a party or not just the few that have the money to be able to pay and support politicians. We want to make sure Capelago are part of this process. So these tools and this effort are all about trying to make sure that everyone understands not only how to get involved in the process, but what to do once you're in that process.
And I think engaging in processes like these and giving feedback, right? I think that's also very important. Identifies issues that have fallen through the gap, that we on the outside can see that the stakeholders, the organizers, the policymakers sort of missed some of these key issues or concerns for people, right? Or questions that need to be answered. For me, as soon as you use the word archipelago or the phrase across the archipelago, I thought, okay, so I'm a fisherman. I'm not necessarily married, but I got two wives. Right? One in the capital, one on the island. And because I'm a fisherman, my fisherman business is sort of like when I'm fishing, I launch from one island. When the season is closed, I may be on another island, right? How do I determine where I am supposed to register? And are there rules? Is the decision left up to me, mm-hmm. right? Like I spend 6 months in Nassau, 6 months on the island. How is the decision made in which polling division I'm supposed to register in? What am I, as an 18-year-old, what am I allowed to use to show proof of residence, right? What if I'm from the island, came up to live with my grandparents when I was 15 to go to school in Nassau? I stayed in school, but I didn't stay in my grandparents' house, right? I'm not actually registered anywhere. There's no proof of my permanent residence. What am I supposed to do as an 18-year-old or a 17-year-old preparing to vote?
And we even saw an example of that recently. I think folks might have heard there were folks who were living here going and trying to register, but because their residence is in one of the islands, the provision to be able to do that. So there's all kinds of those little exceptions that need to be worked out, and they're always best done if you start in advance. If you wait till the very last minute and don't understand the process, it can become very difficult. There are a lot of different resources that can be accessed through the government website.
All right.
Through the government website, sorry. Within that space, though, unfortunately, not everybody has the familiarity. You talked about the challenges of the government websites at different points. Mm-hmm. And so navigating through that, folks left to their own devices, if you already are feeling like maybe this process doesn't really or shouldn't include me, when you run into one of those obstacles or barriers, you're likely that maybe I'm just going to let it go. I'm not going to vote this time. And when you do, you give up your voice and you give up the opportunity to be a part of something that is very important in the process of getting those problems we talked about at the beginning, the potholes and the road traffic issues and
or
floodings and all those things. This, your participation is going to be essential to make sure that those things are fixed the way that you want them to be fixed.
Right. Like, okay, so a community issue that I've been plagued with, but only recently was exposed to the dynamics involved, right? Recent power outage, before Imelda, a number of streetlights in my community were blown, let's say 4 or 5, right? And that's when I found out that it costs the constituency office $1,000 per pole to fix the light, mm-hmm. right? So when you realize that it costs $1,000 per pole to fix the light, now I'm exposed to a dynamic. This may be the barrier for us having light in our community, right? Okay, well, why would it cost $1,000 per pole? And then somebody said, well, because it costs $750 a day to rent a small bucket truck. Mm. The set that they just called Cherry Picker, right? And so now I say, okay, so what we need to do now is to figure out how to bring down the cost of the rental. Well, why is the rental so high? Is it because we are only able to access sort of, I don't want to say poor work, but what I mean is that most of the bucket truck guys are already busy. Either their bucket truck is hired for long-term jobs. So these are guys that are looking for piece work. And to survive, they're charging $750 a day. Is there a way that we can lobby to have that space regulated? Because why would it cost $750 a day to rent a small bucket truck? And if it does, which is cool, then we need to have a conversation about increasing the constituency budget for one-time purchases, well, and maintenance, right? So that constituency offices can purchase bucket trucks for the purpose of community repairs and then lease those bucket trucks out to service providers or subcontractors.
But think about the complexity of what you just presented.
Yeah, yeah.
So what we also know is, unfortunately, that not everyone has the Aaron Greed tenacity and detectiveness, right? So how to figure out what the problem is. Most people will just come to the point of, I'm driving to work every day. I, you know, got to get home and take care of my kids and do X, Y, Z. So I'm just going to know that, you know what, that those lights are out. Those lights are out, and that's it. That's just, I'm going
to
deal with
it. I don't have the money to fix
them,
it yet.
Right, I'm going to find them some other solution. And so we come up with our own individual solutions instead of, to your point, preparing ourselves to be a part of a collective solution that is going to, one instance, but fix it for the long term. So when we work on our programs, and we do four things. We do policy development, so laws like freedom of information and anti-corruption, and making sure that there's transparency. We've heard a lot of discussions about whistleblowers, things like those types of things. But in order for those laws, even when they're passed, to come to reality, we need engaged citizens. So the biggest part, what Ari works and her team works on, is really how do we prepare folks to be able to have that comfort of understanding where I can get the information and how I can use that information. But if it doesn't, when it comes to the fundamentals of citizen participation, advocacy, being involved, taking investment in your community, you also have to recognize there are some critical opportunities to make your voice known. And the voting process is one of those that you cannot pass up. So as we look at the upcoming elections, we have to see them as critical opportunities for folks to express their engagement, express their interest.
Ari, at the recent Future of Democracy 4 conference, right, the presentation I gave, Can You See the Plantation Through the Palm Trees, Examining Plantation Model Systems in the Bahamas and How We Unwittingly Are Perpetuating These systems, I talked about how citizens are decentered from spaces where they are the center. They are the central focus, right? I didn't focus on voting as a space where citizens have been decentered, but when Matt speaks about how important, or voting being one of the tools you have, which governance, policymaking, how your community operates, I think about the ways in which the political class and political culture have decentered the citizen from the electoral process, right? And saying, well, if you don't vote for me, you don't vote for him, then your vote is powerless, is useless, you might as well throw it away. But the vote has power whether you use it or not. The vote has power whether you vote for a candidate or not. Because it's the vote and the citizen who has the vote that is central in the process. Will the new handbook speak to some of these sort of conceptual issues as well? Like the citizen's location in the voting process?
Yes. And what I'll also say is I listened to your presentation. It was a great presentation, by the way.
Thank you.
But if this is a democracy, then the government is a reflection of the people. And if that is so, then the way that we use our agency is by voting. Like you said, the vote matters whether or not you use it. And so your job is to educate yourself, learn about who it is that you're voting for, and vote correctly. And when I say use that vote wisely, what I'm saying is we have to get rid of this herd mentality of, well, my grandfather was a PLP and my granddaddy was an FNM and therefore I'm that.
Owner Bailey, don't listen to this part.
No.
Go on. Sorry, Ari, go on.
We have to get rid of the herd mentality. And the way that we challenge that mentality is by educating Bahamians. And we're doing that through our voter education program. Mm-hmm. I was also at that Future of Democracy conference. Matt gave a presentation on some of our work, but I was running a voter simulation. And that voter simulation was asking a very simple, non-political, really, question. Mm-hmm. It was asking, do you think that your vote matters in the next election? And we got an overwhelming response of yes. And so that was just one event that we're doing this. We're looking for more opportunities to do this more often. So if you or anyone else out there knows of an opportunity where you would like Org to come and do this voter simulation, you can definitely let us know.
Man, listen, so the black box open mic, like I'm not an organizer and I don't make decisions, right? But as soon as I finish with the show, I'm going to call them and say, hey, you know, we're doing that thing on the
Dundas.
Maybe Org could come and do a voters booth as
Absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely. Because we want to get more answers. We want to hear from more people because that was a very select group of people. Mm-hmm. So the more people that we ask this question to, the more that we get it out there in the community, the more that people will actually think about whether or not the vote matters.
Because mm-hmm. I'm well past that. I want to ask the people, would you vote for Chikchani? Because you vote for, I mean, look who you'd be voting for. Would you vote for Chikchani? That's the only question I want to put on the table.
Good Chikchani t-shirts, though. I mean, talk about paraphernalia. There's your marketing line right there. Yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so let's get to the advance poll and the by-election and what resources are on Org's page for our listeners.
So we currently have resources that are up on orgbahamas.com/vote. You can go and you can check the crash course. It's a 6-minute video. The handbook is there. There are also graphics that explain different tips that you can use to get engaged and get involved with the by-election.
All right. Now, this is also a message to the Parliamentary Registration Department. It's not really a message to them, but if they're listening, I want them to listen. So this week in the international media, right, the Secretary of State for Kentucky issued a public statement. Now, mind you, where I saw it was on Twitter, right? But it's a verified account, and I don't believe this is fake news or a hoax. So the Secretary of State for Kentucky, on the day of the election for the New York mayor and the Virginia governor.
And Jersey.
Yeah. Issued a statement basically saying, we know that some of you guys are calling, asking us why polling. In fact, it's an uproar. You're upset that polling stations are closed. You go into vote and you can't vote. What's happening? He said, well, let me tell you what's happening. You can't vote in Kentucky today because we're not having elections.
Right.
In fact, it's important for you to know that you in Kentucky can't vote for the mayor of New York or the governor of Virginia or for anybody in New Jersey. But apparently these people were very upset and suggesting that there was a grand conspiracy afoot because they, residents, citizens, because they're actually citizens of Kentucky, not just residents. There's a federal system that federalized individual states, right? They're like small countries. That's why each state has a governor and its own constitution, right? And its own Supreme Court and everything. You can't go vote for the mayor of New York, Kentucky resident. Anyway, Parliamentary Registration Department. I just thought that was something interesting happening that I'm sure everybody at PRD said, that ain't can't happen. That ain't gonna never happen.
Well, if you think about the energy and discussion that you're hearing, the political rhetoric right now just about Golden Isle, then it's presented. That's a very small, limited group, but the attention is happening nationally. And the conversation beyond the politics is a good wake-up to remind that in your space, in your community, very soon people are going to be coming around, if they're not already knocking on the door and asking for your vote. Often that process is people coming to you and telling you their story, what they're going to do for you, what they've identified as the top priorities. The truth is the more powerful conversation is you telling them what are the important processes, what are the important things you want to happen within the next administration. What are the things in your community that really matters? What are the things that are going to matter to your family, whether it be energy or the roads or how we've spent our money or the taxes that are allocated on our various items through VAT and duty or your ability to access basic services like water and electricity and duty. You have the right and, more importantly, the responsibility to be able to articulate to those folks that want your vote what they need to do to be able to get your vote. Instead of the listening, you need to be talking.
Now, I know that org has explored a number of jurisdictions, right? Best practices, virulent or intense challenges, the biggest barriers. I have a text here that says, can we explore the idea of having an absentee Bahamas voting ballot for persons that move throughout the Bahamas? So it's not for not for people in the diaspora, working in consular offices or university, but for people in the Commonwealth who are constantly moving through the islands. Have you seen that in other jurisdictions? Have you seen it in other jurisdictions that are similar to us in the sense that they also have an archipelagic makeup?
With all honesty, I don't think that's something we've done an extensive amount of looking into. I think we should, and it's important. And what you will see in other jurisdictions is that there are lots of different conditions. I know in the States, there's folks who are military and move from space to space. There are folks who are living abroad, and we've addressed some of that. But those folks that fall within the cracks, I think it's really crucial. And that's, again, why I talk about understanding it as soon as possible, mm-hmm. so that you can start to push forward and achieve that. And it doesn't just talk to our voting and the electoral process. It also talks to other types of laws that are in place to ensure that there is this dialogue between the citizens and government, that mutual social contract meets. And so, in every radio show I'm going to be on, I'm going to be talking about the importance of freedom of information. But this one time, what I will say is the Ombudsman Act, which was passed last year, is a crucial that needs to be brought into effect, because it is your opportunity to bring those types of nuances directly to someone who can start to work within government to resolve that maybe particular or unique concern you might have. So I think that's one of the processes. The other is mobilizing with folks who are also in that circumstance. And one of the other areas that the talented and brilliant Ari and her team work on is our advocacy training. So org also offers opportunities to understand how you mobilize with like-minded folks around a particular issue and bring that forward in a systemic way so that it can be addressed. So that's also a resource you can check out online in our Advocacy 101 handbook toolkit that is on orgbahamas.com. Or you can reach out to us, and if there's a group that does want to work with us, please let us know, and we'll do what we can.
Absolutely. All right. I'm very excited about the election and talking about the issues that arise within. But we also have data protection on the table. Just for a few minutes, I would talk about that, because there's so many elements that are sort of, I don't want to say up in the air, but on the table right now. So I started with the article, org welcomes new data protection bill, but warns it may be open to abuse, which was yesterday, Monday, 10th of November, 25, Nassau Guardian. But then I remembered in October, there was this article in the Tribune that was also interesting, legal reforms, quote, shift power dynamic, close quotes, over data control. Right. And so in that article, for people who are interested, right, the article starts by speaking to Keith Roy II, Plato Alpha Design's chief operating officer. And he sort of lays out some of the changes in, I guess, the legislation and the impact. The three changes, quote, stick out to me, close quotes, with the proposed overhaul of the 22-year-old Data Protection Act, including the, quote, expanded rights, close quotes, provided to Bahamian citizens over how companies manage, handle, and secure their personal data. Noting the data protection bill means, quote, compliance is no longer optional, it's mandatory, close quotes, for businesses such as his own, which manage and process data on behalf of third parties. He added that the legislation also provides, quote, future-proofing for innovation, close quotes, by seeking to, quote, anticipate emerging technologies. So basically, it provides a space for looking forward at the emerging and potentially emerging technology and ensuring that we are creating legislation and regulations to, in anticipation of its arrival, not just waiting to see how it impacts us. Emerging technologies such as AI, biometrics, and cloud computing. So The Data Protection Commissioner is obviously a big part of this process. So I wanted to ask Org today, what is the status of, well, the Data Protection Bill, what are the amendments, how do you feel about them, and what is the status of FOIA, or are these two spaces entirely separate?
There is some crossover, but not much. Freedom of information is not about accessing people's individual and personal data, and it says pretty overtly that in the act.
Okay.
Now that act has not been fully enacted, so the tenets of the law are not necessarily in a place where that's going to be enforced, or that anyone has the ability right now to be able to make a request for information. It's pointed out in that article, this was a piece of legislation that was put forward in 2003. So think about digital communications and what they were then versus now. So a lot of advancement has happened. And in this space, we know that there's movement happening on a regular basis that changes. AI wasn't something most of us were familiar with a couple of years ago, and now it's in all of our spaces. So it's important that pieces of legislation do adapt to our current circumstance, and by many reflections, this piece of legislation does, and it opens the door for other emerging opportunities. The key thing that what happens for us is that the folks that are going to be most affected by pieces of policy should understand that and have the opportunity to look at that policy and understand the implications before it is put into law, because selling something after the fact is a very difficult process. Getting people to buy in earlier builds trust, it builds ownership. So we've encouraged folks to go to that bill, go to the act, look at it, understand it, and realize that everyone, individuals and businesses, is going to be affected in some ways positively, but in other ways, there are other implications.
Now, Matt, we're going to a break, but you see what you said just now? I need org to make a PSA. With what you said just now, right, in its general form, because as you were saying that, all I could think about is Junkanoo, and does the U in Junkanoo stand for UNESCO, right? It's a whole big story. We're going to tie it up with a bow and go to the break, and when we get back from the break, we're going to close up the show, remind you of where you can find Org and its resources, right? So you're on the clock with Surfer Green. I can ride this wave. We'll be right back. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course, not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world, see how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Don't wait for a storm to arrive. Stock up on hurricane supplies, make home repairs, purchase a generator, and more this hurricane season with a Fidelity personal loan. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Are you searching for something new? Something exciting? Your dream job in paradise? Well, look no further. Royal Beach Club Paradise Island is hiring. Join a dynamic group of passionate hospitality professionals, craft unforgettable moments, and thrive in a vibrant, welcoming atmosphere. Play your part in shaping the future of our team while growing your own career every day. Bring your energy, your passion, and your creativity to a workplace that's as dynamic and fun as you are. At Royal Beach Club Paradise Island, the opportunities don't just exist. They're limitless. So are you ready to find your perfect fit? Visit Royal Beach Club at paradiseisland.com/career today and step into a world of exciting possibilities.
Oh. Love the show? Want to give your support? Become a sponsor today. Call 302-2300 for our rates and packages. That's 302-2300. Become a sponsor on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. We are right at the end of the hour. We're about to close out the show. I'm going to ask Org, Matt Aubrey, and Ari Wells to highlight social media presence and resources available
Org. So you can find our voter resources at orgbahamas.com/vote. And I would love if you reached out to me if you have any questions, comments, concerns. If you're looking to partner with us on our voter education program, we are looking for additional partners to help us to disseminate the information, to get it back into the community and to get more people involved. So please reach out to me. My number is 432-3397. And again, 432-3397. We would love to hear from you and engage with you. You can also reach us on social media, Org Bahamas, and our Facebook, also Org Bahamas.
Absolutely. I was just in my phone, and I know we're almost all out of time. I saw this article this morning and a conversation that I was like eavesdropping on. I wasn't really a part of the conversation, but it's so fascinating. The article's title is First Indian State to Extend to End. First Indian state to end extreme poverty is run by Marxists. They're literally communists. Interesting is that they're not using communist strategies, right? That would be perceived as communist strategies. The term that was used by the person who shared it was communitarian as opposed to, right, or communism, but it wasn't. It was very interesting, and the Extreme Poverty Eradication Project, EPEP, began in 2021 with a massive door-knocking campaign to survey residents about their needs. It identified 64,006 households living in, quote, extreme deprivation. Kerala, where the program took place, is home to more than 36 million people.
The one thing I will say is bringing it back to us is their right to information process. Their law came not from folks at high levels trying to get politicians in trouble or find out what this party did or that. It was from folks at the very lowest levels of poverty in India who realized, I have no money. And the few monies I got to give, the few rupees I got to be able to pay, I want to know how that money is being used. So the concept that they had was, it's my money, so it's my information. And that's what passed that law. So you and I have talked about needing to build that culture where people feel that the information that government holds, the access that they have, the way that they spend is your business. It's in your interest. You're paying it. You want to see how it's being used. So that concept of freedom of information is essential because it not just it balances out the dialogue, the understanding that government and citizens are working collaboratively in this mutual social contract.
Absolutely. One last text to end the show. The text says, freedom of information is not about accessing individual data sets, like Matt iterated, but it is all about data. This legislation does not affect data protection and data sovereignty protection. It does not adequately protect persons' private data sets and actually allows for abuse. It is based on analog thinking, trying to legislate a digital reality. I invite competent debate on this. I say reject and build ground up with competent advisors that can legislate today and tomorrow. I can list at least 5 dozen weaknesses and another few dozen omissions. C. Allen Johnson, right? So you know where the critique is coming from. And so for our listeners, please go online if you don't have yesterday's Guardian already in your possession. Go online and search Org Welcomes New Data Protection Bill, but warns it may be open to abuse.
You can also go online to our Policy Review Center on orgbahamas.com and you can read the bill for yourself. You can also read our positions and the key considerations you should look at when you're making a determination. Does this bill work for me?
Oh, and also, producer, start playing the music. We could go. I just want to give you all the website for Parliamentary Registration Department. It is elections.gov.bs. Elections.gov.bs. go check them out. It is a good website. I said, whoever working on that website, go call Royal Bahamas Police Force, see if they need some help, please. That's all. Anyway, also, listen, we just recently released a new cohort of police officers on the road. Y'all police officers, take care of yourself, man. On Thursday, I'm going to be running through offenses and fines and ways that we can generate revenue to support the police force in the things they need, like psychosocial services, because the job is rough. I acknowledge that. And I don't know if I 49 and I run hard when I see the people ride through the roadblock drinking beer. I sure y'all young officers get frustrated from day one. All right, y'all take care of yourselves, and we'll take care of them. Surfer Green, on the clock. Stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, streaming on GuardianTalkRadio.com and the Guardian Radio app, Nassau, Bahamas.